because he went through the A class. He volunteers to help fill the pulpit. And that's a great thing, so you're not stuck with Barry and myself. So it's nice to have a third person in the rotation for filling the pulpit when Dennis is gone. Dan, we appreciate you.
Well, thanks.
At least I'm sure the elders do.
Well, before I actually get into my actual message, because I left it back there on purpose, I have a short little message. This goes for everybody, but it might enjoy by like Eli, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name. I apologize. Mason. I'd heard it, I just didn't remember it. So I hope you enjoy what I have to share. But before we actually get to that part, how many have ever heard the story, "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, because I had wore them the night before and they needed the air." I thought I'd pick on myself today. I was going to pick on Eric, but I'll leave the Woodleys alone. Well, I have a friend here with me. This is called Piper. Piper is a mouse. And I have a little story I want to share with you about Piper. Piper loved Christmas, so here we go. This was Piper's "The Night Before Christmas." So they said it was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a
mouse.
But hours earlier, there was much stirring then, for Piper was the hyperest he'd been. He wanted it Christmas right there and right then. I've lost my spot, sorry. He stared at those presents like catfish to bait. What was in them? He just couldn't wait. One of those gifts was marked Piper, so he thought he would take a peek. He stretched that ribbon with his feet, but instead of it breaking, it snapped, catapulting poor Piper in the air. And of course, the window was open, so out Piper flew. No telling how many red lights he went through. The church doors were open, and he flew inside, past the pastor and the pews. And he, what a wonderful ride. He landed smack dab in a pile of hay and realized that he was now in their Christmas Eve play. There was Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the sheep. They were saying their lines. Piper didn't dare make a peep. They said that God loved us and gave us his son, and that at Christmas, it is giving, not getting, that's fun. There, Piper looked beside him, and there on the hay lay the most precious baby born to this day. Piper jumped off of that manger, and he ran to his house, breaking all the speed limits that apply to a mouse, grabbed his one gift. He dragged it 4 miles to the church, to the stage, to the manger, and he smiled. He gave it to Jesus. It was all he could do. Then the angel said, "He'd rather have you." The play was now over. The cast took their bows. Piper took one too, with the sheep and the cows. Then on that way home that night, Piper had something new to believe. That is, it's better to give than to receive. When Piper got home, he didn't make a peep. He just made gifts for his loved ones and fell fast asleep. So that night before Christmas, all through the house, not a creature was stirring. That is why, that all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even Piper the mouse.
I want to be a good enough father.
Don't quit!
Hey, you know what? I thought your jump rope routine was really good.
I just got a notification that you moved money from our savings into your checking account.
Can we talk about this later?
You must be the real estate agent.
Well, it's so good to meet you.
Let me show you the house.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
You wrote prayers for each area of your life.
Prayer strategy.
I sure could use some of that.
Tony, you should go see your practice tomorrow.
I'm out of town this week.
When were you going to tell me?
I just did.
Tony, how's my favorite ref?
I'm real good. How you doing?
I wish I lived at your house. Whenever my parents were together, they just fight.
Dude, I can't get a pass from you. It'd be easier to baptize a cat.
I just need you to blow off a little steam, okay?
There's one thing we do well. It's fight.
You do not want World War III to break out in your home.
No, I don't.
Just because you argue a lot doesn't mean that you fight well. You got to plead with God so that he can do what only he can do. Then you got to get out of the way and let him do it. You need to do your fighting in prayer.
Keep fighting the good fight. Never give up. Never keep letting your light shine.
I've never seen anybody do what you did.
It's time for you to take off the gloves.
Keep fighting the good.
Lord, we need an army of believers. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good
fight. Would you say this with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Most of you know that that's the Lord's Prayer. And when I was looking it up last night, there were so many different versions online that I could have used that I picked the King James because it fit the most. Prayer, it's powerful, very powerful. Prayer is the key to heaven. We all have keys. We have keys to our cars. We have keys to our houses. We have keys to the church. Keys to all different kinds of things. I mean, talk about keys. I mean, I've got a lot of keys, but there's people that's got a lot more keys than I do. And when I stick these in that lock, I have faith it's going to open that lock. When you pray, you have to have faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." What is prayer? And I'm still in a lot of this stuff that I learned in the AIM class. I mean, you take a class and you learn stuff, that's what you do. It's what it's for. Prayer is a two-way conversation. It's not just you getting on your knees and praying to God and saying, "God, here's my needs, here's my wants, thank you," and walk away. It's also listening to God. Because during those prayers, he's going to speak to you if you're listening. So it's a two-way conversation. We want to make sure that we're listening. It requires discipline and practice. You don't want to just babble on about different things. Get to the point. God knows what you need to pray about. He already knows. But he wants you to talk to him. He wants that personal one-on-one relationship with him. Without practicing it, our walk with him will not grow. Is public prayer okay? Sure. He prefers us to pray in private. That's why, you know, in War Room they've got a prayer closet. That's a very good movie if you haven't seen it. I don't think it's in theaters anymore. It should be coming out in Blu-ray DVD. It's a very good movie to go get and see if you haven't seen it. She had a prayer room. If you're going to pray in public, pray in public. But make sure you do it for the right reasons. You don't pray in public to bring honor and glory to yourself and to show your friends, your neighbors, and the people there, "I'm Mr. Religious, I'm Mr. Holy. Yeah, listen to me, I can say these words." That's what the Pharisees did back in the time of Jesus. And even before, they prayed in public to get people to believe, "Hey, I'm Mr. Perfect. I can pray and you got to listen to me." They're babbling. They're getting their reward from men, and that's what their reward will be. And the Lord's Prayer kind of teaches us how to pray. God, the Lord, Jesus himself was here on the earth, and he taught that to his disciples. They asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he did. There's four elements to a good prayer life. First, dedication. You have to be dedicated. You have to set that time aside each and every day, whether it's in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, or maybe all three times. You have to set that time aside. You know, Satan would like nothing more than to cut our line with God. So he's going to try and get you not to pray. But you need to have that dedication. You need to take that time, and you need to just make sure that daily you are in the Word and you are praying. You have to have faith. We must have an unwavering faith and belief and childlike trust in God. Again, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. But anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He's going to reward you for it. Maybe not in this life. Maybe he's going to reward you in heaven. But you're going to get rewarded for it. Now, don't be asking him for something that is not in God's nature. You know, don't be going to him and saying, well, you know, so-and-so did this to me. You know, would you give me something to pay him back with? He's not going to do that. We're not about revenge. Let God handle it. Ask God to forgive you for thinking that. God will take care of it. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, you have the faith of a small... Truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Wow, I wish I had that much faith. You know, there's a lot of things in my life that I want to move. And I just, unfortunately, my faith isn't as strong as it should be sometimes, and I can't move those mountains. And sometimes I add to those mountains instead of trying to get them moved and get them out of my way, we make them bigger. You have to have a relaxed spirit. Never get uptight. In Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. Wow. Isn't that powerful? If you live for the world, you're going to reap what you sow. If you live for the Spirit and for God, your reward is going to be great in heaven. You know, here a while back, someone had posted something on Facebook, and I agreed with it. And somebody, a fellow co-worker of theirs, and I got into a rather lengthy discussion on things. The young man, I believe, is not a Christian. I don't know if he's an atheist or what he is. But you know, one thing that I said, and I've posted it on Facebook before, and I will post it again, I would rather have the world judge me than to have God judge me. Because, you know, whatever this world does to me is temporary. What God does is eternal. And I think I would rather have the world kill me than to have God say, flee from me, you thing of iniquity, for I never knew you. We need to relate to God on a personal level. You're talking to your Heavenly Father. Just because you can't physically see Him, He's right there. He's everywhere. He's there. And He wants to have that personal, one-on-one relationship with you. And we're going to talk a little bit later about some of the attributes of God, but it's so hard to wrap my mind around whether I'm praying to God and He's talking back to me. There's somebody across the world at the exact same time that's praying, God hears them. And He's answering their prayer and He's talking to them. And it doesn't matter if everybody in this whole wide world got down on their knees at the same time and prayed, God is going to know what each and every one of you say. And God's going to answer. But we have to listen. You know, growing up, I never really ever thought about this part. We always say, and usually at the end of a prayer, best description I ever heard of the Holy Trinity to understand it was a cherry pie. And not one of those cherry pies you get at the restaurant. That's bait for a roach motel. I'm talking about the cherry pie that when you scoop it, you got to have your plate right there and scoop it over so you don't lose all the stuff inside. So let's take a cherry pie. Cut it into three equal parts. You can see three pieces of pie, right? But if you look in the cracks, all of them have been filled in by a good, good cherry pie. Because all that cherry juice runs together. Three and one. One cherry pie, three pieces. The insides are the same. When God does something, he doesn't have to ask Jesus or tell Jesus, I'm going to do this. And Jesus does not do this. They already know what the other is going to do. So those are just a couple of the attributes of God. There's many more. You're going to praise him? Praise him for the beauty outside. Praise him for the rain. He's the only one who can give it to us. We have no control over it. No. But make sure you're praising him. Don't put yourself into it. I mean, is the sun shining today? How many agree? Is the sun shining today? Nobody agrees with me? It is. It's shining. The sun is shining. We just can't see it because there's a lot of clouds blocking it. But that sun is shining. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any daylight. It would be pitch dark. That's an attribute of God. He's got everything under control. I don't know about you, but I couldn't hang all these planets in the exact space where they needed to be and put that sun just right where it needs to be so that it either the earth doesn't freeze or doesn't blow up or burn up. I don't have his knowledge. Confession. Pretty simple. Confess your sins to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So on this step, you confess your sins. Be as specific as possible. If you, you know, waited till today to pray for your sins yesterday and you don't remember everything that you might have done that was a sin, or maybe you did something that you didn't know was a sin, you just didn't know it was in the Bible. You hadn't read that somewhere in the Bible and you didn't realize you were sinning when you did it. Ask him for forgiveness. You may not be specific. But, you know, if you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you say a few choice words or something, you have a little bit of road rage and you remember that, be specific. He knows, but he wants you to tell him that you know that what you did wrong and what you did. Thanks, the third step. Give thanks to God for all the blessings he has given you, whatever they may be. And maybe not just you, maybe others that you want to give him thanks that he gave something to somebody else or did something for somebody. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we want to give him thanks for everything he has done and everything he gives us. What do you have to be thankful for today? And the fourth step, supplication. I didn't know what this word meant until Pastor told me in the AIM class. It's praying for others. Being specific, praying for needs. And not just others, yourself included. First of all, you want to start out, you want to be personal in this prayer. Pray for those close to you, such as family, close friends, somebody that's really close to you. Pray for them. And you can switch this order up. You don't have to do this in the order. You follow the order because you want to start with adoration because you always, it's all, this is what's going to happen, but I pray for him. I pray for all of our leaders. Pray for our local governments, our townships, our county, our cities. Pray for them. Pray for our military. We wouldn't have any of these freedoms we have if we didn't have a military. They're out there protecting us. there are in other countries putting their lives on the line. Pray for all of our emergency services, police, fire, EMS. Police officers are out there not getting paid much and putting their lives on the line. They're one of the first people in to try and stop something when we're all running away. Firefighters, they're running into the burning building when we're running out. Paramedics, EMTs, when you're having trouble breathing and they get there, thank them. Pray for them. Next, pray for the world. There's a lot going on in this world that's not good either. Pray for the world leaders. Pray for guidance. Pray for the Christians around the world. They need it. Some other countries with ISIS out there, there's people being beheaded and killed just because they're Christians and they will not renounce their faith in God. We need to pray for them and their families and that God will protect them. Pray for Israel. Israel's God's chosen people. Pray for them. Pray for their safety. And then, pray for yourself. We all got lists of stuff that we're going through. Wondering where the money's going to come for that next bill. Hope our water or our electric don't get shut off. Maybe we don't know where we're going to get the money for our medicine or put food on our table. There's people out there. There may be people in this church that have that same thing, struggle from week to week, day to day. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a secret sin that they got or you got. Pray for God's guidance and help. And if you can't get through that, maybe you need to find somebody that you trust, that you know when you tell them, they're not going to go to so-and-so and so-and-so and tell them. You know, I heard one person said, well, my idea of keeping a secret is telling one person at a time. You don't want to pick that person. But pick that person you trust to share with and say, hey, I need help with this. And ask God. He's going to guide you. But listen to him. And as I said earlier, make sure that whatever you're praying for in your supplications, whether it's the health of somebody or this or whatever it is, that you ask that his will be done, not yours. Because you want his will to be done. Because he knows what's best. He's got a bigger and greater plan than we could ever think of. And maybe, unfortunately, the answer is I'm bringing them home. It's their time. I'm ready to bring them home. They need the rest. You'll miss them for a little while. But if you know my son is your Savior, you'll be with him and you'll get to see him that joyful day when you go. So prayer is the key to heaven. But if you don't have faith, and you don't have faith in God, you're not going to be able to unlock that door. You want to unlock the door. You have to have faith. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks that door. Put prayer in your daily life. Make sure it's there. You get up in the morning, do your 30-second prayer, thanking God for the day, thanking for waking you up, ask him to bless it. And then take your time and maybe use the axe. If the axe prayer thing doesn't work for you, it doesn't sound good to you, talk to pastor. There's other things out there. He's got different ones. Go online, look up different prayer things that will help you in your prayer life. And then set aside every morning when you get up. If you have to get up a half hour earlier, I did. I have to be to work at 6 o'clock and I had to get up at 4:30. You know, until I worked where I'm working, I didn't know 4:30 came twice a day. You know, now I'm getting up 4:15 in the morning to make sure I get this done. And there are mornings, and I'm going to be honest with you, there are mornings that this is sitting on the table charging and I grab it. Well, let's clear out my email. Oh, what's on Facebook here? Oh, I got some notifications. And then I look at the clock and it's like, uh-oh, I got to get ready for work. and I don't get my prayer in. And you know something? Those are usually the days that when I get to work, it gets nuts and things go wrong and I have a horrible day. And then that night I have to ask God for forgiveness because I got upset over this stuff because I didn't take the time to pray. So how is your prayer life? Is it up to snuff? Or is it hanging on by a thread? Get with God in prayer, daily prayer, and your day will go better. It will take determination to get into this daily prayer routine, but with God's help, you can do it. Because remember, with God, all things are possible. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity just to come into your house here, and Father, just to bring praise and worship to you, Father, for it's all about you. This isn't about us. We didn't come here to just learn and just to make it about us. We want it to be about you. Father, just guide us each and every day in our prayer lives. Just give us that time and let us make that time to focus on you, to focus our day on you. And throughout the day, Father, as we go, let us take that time, not just at times for meals, but Father, just throughout the day to pray and just to thank you for the day and just thank you for him being you being there for us. And let us just praise you, Father, and just bring all the glory and honor to you. And now, Father, we just ask that you be with our congregational meeting, that we make the decisions for this church that you want us to make, Father. And Father, we just pray for all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.